I am Amy Baker, and I've been on our counseling staff for, oh, I think 35 years or so. So probably I've had the pleasure of getting to see most of you before, but if not, I've been around for a long time. And we're going to spend this session talking about counseling little hearts, getting beyond the surface with a child. So let me just pray as we begin, all right? Oh, precious Lord, thank you so much that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And that applies not only to us as adults, that you are the way, that you're the answer, that applies to children as well. Thank you that we can have confidence in counseling children, not because we know some kind of secret technique or because we have special tools to work with them, but because we know the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, and that the answers for children are the same as they are for adults. Lord, thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you that you've given us everything that we need for life and godliness in your word. And there's not a separate word hidden somewhere for children. We have everything we need. I would ask, Lord, that as we go through this material today, that it would just give us greater confidence in and eagerness to minister to children and to see them know the hope and the joy that comes from knowing you and living life as they were created to live. Thank you. Please help us now. Amen. All right, so I'm going to start with just a tiny bit of review. If you have heard the session that I have done in track 4 on The Soul of a Child, an Introduction to Counseling Children, this first part is going to be just a little bit review, but I think it's so important that it bears repeating, and if you haven't heard it, I think it'll make it hard to follow along if we don't at least get this down. So I think many of us, I'm not going to take a survey, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I think many of us would say if, when we're asked to counsel children, I just work with adults. I don't really feel equipped to counsel children. In fact, I remember talking to someone in the Biblical Counseling Coalition about counseling children, and that person responds to me, oh, no, I can't counsel children. I feel out of my depth there. And it's like, you have 5 children. You are counseling children every day, all right? So, but I think that many of us feel a little awkward, out of our depth with that. So, first of all, I just want to remind us that we have the same goal. My end game for counseling children is this. I want these precious souls to have a hope in and love for God, which is stirred up a desire to know him and follow him, and a desire to bring him glory by loving him with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving others as themselves. Is that any different than your goal for adults? Same goal. We have the same goal with children. Same struggles. For children, their struggles are no different than for those of an adult. They struggle with fear, anxiety, depression, just like adults. They suffer and see no hope, just like adults. They want the approval of others. They want control. They want safety. They want peace. Just like adults, right? So, like adults, children need to wrestle with sin and suffering and be led to see the hope in a sovereign, beautiful, powerful God. Our hope for children is the same. The means of hope and salvation for a child are the same as that for an adult, right? Jesus Christ, our beloved Savior and Redeemer, is where we find life. He is the way, the truth, the life, not a way, a truth, a life. He's the way, the truth, the life. It's the same for children. So we're coming from the same. So I'm going to say to you, if you are counseling adults biblically, you know what you need to counsel children biblically too, because it's not some kind of separate esoteric thing that we're trying to accomplish. We want to accomplish the same things with them. Now, let me talk about specialized techniques. You may find that your counseling with children is enhanced if you have resources to help you connect to the child. Whole psychological therapies have been built around using resources and techniques that facilitate counseling children. One of the most commonly known ones that you may be thinking of is play therapy, but there's a whole bunch of them. And here's basically what's happening with those therapies. Researchers in these fields have worked hard to identify ways to gain involvement with children, to gather data, to give instruction, and they've developed tools which they found to be useful to them in accomplishing those tasks. So if you're going to counsel children regularly, you may want to invest in some of those tools to help you facilitate counseling. They may be an excellent way to show love to the child. I want to encourage you, however, that your ability to counsel children and provide good counsel for them is not dependent on tools. It's easy to think that we need something different when it comes to counseling children, and we don't. So, over time, you might invest in markers and paper and crayons. You might invest in action figures. You might invest in some board games. But those are only tools that help you gain involvement and give instruction. You're able to gain involvement and give instruction without that. And I'm guessing that you all probably use tools now in your counseling with adults that you may not have had when you first started counseling because you didn't know about them or you didn't know how to use them. And when you first started counseling adults, you get in the middle of a diagram illustration on the whiteboard and then you were stuck because you couldn't remember how it finished. But you've seen Brad Bigney do it and he did it. It was so effective when he did it. And here you are in the middle, I was like, I can't remember what's supposed to come next, okay? But you got better at it. You got better at it over time. You went back and looked at your notes. You listened to a session on, oh, okay, that's what comes next. It's going to be the same with counseling children. You just haven't done it very much before, and so you may feel awkward, but no different. And you can do it without specialized tools. So please approach opportunities to counsel children with enthusiasm and eagerness, not a, I can't do this apprehension. All right, let's talk about some practical skills. Here are some principles I've learned from people like Julie Lowe and Carolyn Jones. Both of these ladies are just excellent counselors of children, and some of the things from my own experience that are just tips to help us engage well with children and teens. And as you think through this list, keep in mind that these might be effective for some children, but always be paying attention to the person you've got in front of you. Just because it worked with one doesn't necessarily mean it's like, oh, this is what I always do with a six-year-old. Maybe it works with a six-year-old. This six-year-old with another six-year-old, you may need to adapt and be like, just like your counselees, right? You just don't like, oh, okay, I gave this adult this verse, and that was just like the light bulb came on, and then you try giving that verse to the next counselee, and no light bulbs come on, okay? It's going to be the same with children. So anyway, to be less intimidating, you may want to get down on the child's level physically. So one of the things that I do sometimes when I meet a child out in the waiting room for the first time is I'll stoop down to meet them so that we're looking at each other eye to eye. So I'm not a big adult looming over them. Try to get down on their level. And maybe another thing you'll do is you'll sit on the floor with them to draw a picture or play a game or something like that so that you're getting down on their level. It's a little less intimidating for them. Give instructions one step at a time, okay? Your goal here in counseling as you begin this is to learn from them. It's not to accomplish a task. So just give them instructions one step at a time. If you give them several, that may make it hard for them. Check with the child to see if they understand your instructions. These are not rocket science things, okay? Don't assume that you understand a project that a child presents to you. It may seem obvious. You may be able to tell, oh, that's their house, and that's a cat, and that's a dog. But always, always have them explain it to you. Because your goal is not to have a piece of art that you understand and that you can frame and put on your wall. The goal is to use that piece of art to learn from the child what they're thinking and how they're processing. So don't assume that you understand a completed project. Brainstorm multiple reasons. Young people often don't know what they're thinking or why they did what they did. And so when we ask them to tell us why, they feel this pressure, just like we do, to come up with the correct answer. And when they can't come up with the correct answer, what do they do? What are they going to resort to? I don't know, or they're going to try to guess and give you the Sunday school answer, right? So brainstorm multiple reasons. So instead of saying, what makes you anxious, you would say something like, let's make a list of all the things that are scary for you. And then as they go through it, you're going to say, and what else? And what else? And what else? I think that's the next one is when asking a teen or a child to brainstorm with you, when they're making a list, avoid asking, is that it? Because when you ask, is that it, what signal are you sending to them? okay, we've got all there are, and there aren't any more, are there? But when you say, and what else?